I'm excited about the word today. It's a fairly simple message. And I think it's something that we all can, it's for everybody. It's for everybody. There's no one that can sit here and say, oh, this is not for me. Some of us know this well, some of us maybe not as much, but it's for everybody. And it's simple. The title is simply, His Sheep Hear His Voice. Okay, His Sheep Hear His Voice. And Jesus made us very aware of that. The John 10, 27, Jesus is speaking here. He's speaking to a crowd. He's speaking to Pharisees who are listening to him. And he was letting them know that you don't hear my voice because you're not one of my sheep. So he was letting them know as he was bringing this analogy. But he said this. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Very powerful words. Now, Jesus uses a farming example to describe his followers. He uses that. And they understood this, being from the culture and society they were in. He tells the crowds, the Pharisees, that the ones that know his voice are his. They belong to him. Jesus is the shepherd, the great shepherd. We know him to his sheep. And his sheep follow him because they know him. And this analogy is very powerful, and it talks about our relationship with God. It speaks to that. Now, I want to show a little video because I think it's really interesting here. It's like a 2-minute clip, and Jesus is speaking about something very real here, and I want us to get this real analogy picture of what is it like to be a shepherd of the sheep and the sheep following the shepherd. So I think this is going to help us see that very clearly. See if we can get that rolling. So I don't think we have any shepherds here. I don't think we have any farmers here. The people of Jesus' day understood that. They understood that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And they would know that, because when they see that, it's like strangers can call. They're not coming. They're not even looking up. They're not even bothering to look up. They're just eating grass. But it's only when the shepherd, the farmer, starts speaking and calling that the heads come up. The bleating starts. Like, are you calling me? You talking to me? Okay, all right. We're coming. I don't know what sheep are really saying, but they're saying something along that lines. And it's so interesting to see this clip, but there's something powerful that Jesus is communicating to us, that his sheep hear his voice. And I want to talk about that today. And we're looking at John chapter 10. We're coming from there today. And Jesus makes some things very clear. Go to verse 2 in John. And he's making this full analogy. He says, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When we saw that, what a great example there. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus is talking about a relationship with him that he has with his followers. Hearing his voice is actually a sign of the believer, is a sign of knowing Jesus. Because those who know God learn the voice of Jesus. We learn that. There was another video I watched in this time, and there was another farmer doing this kind of same thing, and one comment was like, well, the little ones seem to be slower. The baby sheep are slower than the adult sheep because they're just learning, right? They're just learning. But they follow along. They join in with the flock just like the rest of them. But believers learn to hear the voice of God. You know, when we spend time with God, we learn more and more to discern his voice, to hear his voice. And the good news is this is available to all believers. Every believer has the ability to hear God's voice for yourself. Some people don't believe that. And I think some Christians even fall into that category, like super Christians could hear God's voice, but maybe baby Christians can't hear God's voice, or maybe it's not, if not mature enough to hear God's voice, kind of thing. And sometimes we opt out, and we don't think that applies to us. And it does. It applies to every Christian. Every believer can hear the voice of God. So it is available to us. Now, we know there's lots of voices out there, right? He wouldn't even be talking about strangers unless Jesus was saying, no, there's a lot of voices out there, people who are calling, even calling the sheep. But every voice we hear, we know, is not of God. We know that. We know that every voice we hear in this world is not of God. In fact, some voices are dangerous to us. Some voices want to take from us. They want to harm us. We have an enemy in this world who his desire is to harm us. So we have to learn to discern voices. We have to learn to be discerning in the spirit, audibly and otherwise. We must ask, is this of God? Is this of the Lord? Now, Jesus continues to speak about his sheep and his shepherding. Just a little bit further down in John 10, in verse 8. Verse 8 says, all who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus lays it out right there. We will hear different voices. There are different voices that are out there in the world, and there are those who want to harm us and lead us astray. So we learn to recognize that which is not of God, that which is that of a stranger. We want the enemy to be a stranger. We learn to recognize different voices, those who would deceive us, those of the enemy. But all the more it's important for us to recognize the distinct voice of our Savior. His voice must stand out to us above all other voices. This is important for the Christian in the body of Christ. We must have ears to hear. He says, for those who have ears to hear, receive my words. And so we need to make sure we have ears to hear. This keeps us out of deception, false ideas and doctrines. It empowers our lives. And that was something that the podcaster said. And I agree. It's empowering to the Christian to hear the voice of God. It powers our lives and our walk as we walk more closely with Jesus. So we tune our ears in. We have to tune our ears in to almost this heavenly frequency, to the Holy Spirit, to hear God's voice. And we can do this in many ways. One simple way is tuning out all the noise in the world. I mean, I can say this, if you're probably watching news more than you are being in the Word of God, I would probably say some of the frequencies are getting, you're probably getting a lot of that garble that's coming through. It can easily do that. If you start feeling yourself fearing because you're watching a lot of news or reading a lot of stuff and it's very concerning, and you're starting to feel that fear rise up in you and that worry and that feeling of almost trepidation, sometimes it's time to close out the noise. Sometimes what we need to fast is, maybe we need to fast some media stuff and fast some things that honestly doesn't give us peace. It actually seems to take away our peace. I'm not saying don't know what's going on in the world. I mean, that's okay to know what's going on in the world, but sometimes we get so connected there, and that's the voice we're hearing, that we lose our peace. And we're losing our sense of God's voice and what He is saying in a time where things are being shaken. Well, God said that. He says, we're in a time, things will be shaken, and all around us we'll look and see things are being shaken out there in the way. Things are being, people's lives are being shaken. But we don't need to lose our peace and our focus and that singular voice. Sometimes it just means I need to go into my study, or I need to go into that quiet place. I need to spend time with the Lord. I need to spend time with Jesus. It's amazing. I've had it many times in my life where I wasn't at peace and I went to spend time with the Lord and I came into a place of peace. It's amazing what spending time with the Lord will do. I can be confused and I can be kind of scattered, and I can come spend time with the Lord and find myself at rest. And this peace rises up in me. It's amazing. Spending time with the Lord can do. It can reshape. It doesn't necessarily change what's going on in the world, but it does change what's going on in my world, in my internal being. It's so important to spend time in the Scripture, spend time with God. We need to tune our ears and our heart to Him. This is the responsibility of every Christian. Every Christian, meaning people can encourage you, people can love you, people can bless you, and that's good, because receive that as well. That's good for us. I mean, we do that in the body of Christ. But there's things that we also need to do for ourselves, and it's by spending time with the Lord. And don't let the enemy steal it away. Don't let busyness overcome your life where you don't have, people say that I don't have time to spend significant or time with the Lord where it's more than just passing or fleeting. No, I would say you can't afford not to. You can't afford not to make sure you have time with the Lord. And you spend time with Him, acclimating to His voice, acclimating to His presence. That's so crucial for us, especially in this time of day. There's nothing that can replace spending time with God. Okay? There's nothing that can replace that. And this is also where He becomes so personal to us. He becomes so personal to us, and we become in tune with Him. It's really hard for the enemy to come in and deceive us, because we're tuned in to our Savior. We develop a spiritual sensitivity. And sheep that lose sensitivity to God become scattered. They're more easily deceived. And I don't like it. I don't like seeing when sheep are getting deceived. But I feel like that losing that sensitivity, that losing that focus, that singular focus of hearing the voice of God, Christians can get to a place where they're more easily deceived. So that's my first point. And it's so simple. It's so simple. Is just take time. Take time. Take time to be sheep who hear the voice of God. And that means spend time. Spend time. It's a good thing, right? We can spend money. We can spend resources. We can spend time. Spend it in a good way, in the best way. But hearing only is not enough. We have the ability to hear God. But it's not enough to just hear God. It's so crucial to both hear God's voice and then follow. You see, the sheep, they heard the voice. The voice was calling. Now, they could have just sat there and say, okay, hi, Bob. Good to see you. Glad you're here. Get some hay for us later. You know, whatever it may be. But they came. They came to the shepherd. They came. And it took them leaving their comfortable grazing to go and to see and to follow. So it's not good enough just to hear. It's so crucial for the believer to both hear God's voice and to do His will. You know, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees are hearing Jesus just like other people are hearing, but they're shut down. They're not following. They think this is Jesus is some heretic. He's some kind of blaspheming, false prophet. They're not getting it, and they have no intention to be obedient. But obedience is so crucial here, and I want to use a parable of the two sons to show this. This is out of Matthew 21. There's a parable of two sons that Jesus relates, and this has everything to do with obedience. It has everything to do with hearing and doing. It's out of Matthew 21. The parable is this. It says, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did his father, he did what his father wanted? The first, they answered, and Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Again, he's talking to Pharisees. He's talking to people who are religious and think they have it all together. They think they have the monopoly on God. And yet God's saying, you're not doing my will. You're not doing my will. You're not listening to my voice. You have no intention of being obedient to the Father's voice. It's actually going to be the tax collectors and the prostitutes, who, though they're in sin and they're living in sin and doing all kinds of things that they're despicable and everything, and you look down upon them, but they're going to be the ones who repent and turn from their sins and come into the kingdom of God, because they're going to hear the voice of Jesus calling, and they're going to turn from their sins, and they're going to come in and join the flock and be a part of God, of the believers and God's heavenly banquet. God makes it clear. He said, those who do the will of God, not just hear, but do the will of God. So if the shepherd hear the voice of the shepherd but don't follow, what happens? You know, the shepherd calls. The shepherd calls the sheep, and he leads them. And I understood this from growing up, and my grandparents were farmers. And I didn't grow up on the farm, but my granddad would take me out in the truck, and when we would visit, he would show me the fields and the cows, and he would go out and count the cows in the morning. He would take us with him when we were visiting, and he would lead them. He would make sure they would get from one pasture to another pasture, because sometimes a pasture just kind of grows old, and it collects stuff. Cows leave stuff behind, and they need to move because there's fresher pastures they need to go to, and they step in their water and mess up the water sources and all this kind of, cows can be messy. People can be messy. But we have to be moved to new pastures, fresh pastures. He leads me to green meadows, right? He's the shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He leads me. And so that's his job. The job of the sheep is to follow, right? The distinctive is the job of the sheep is to follow. And sheep that stay behind in the old pasture, they're not following the shepherd. And sheep can stay behind for different reasons. Maybe they don't want the new. They like the old. They like the old pasture. They have learned it very well. They know every inch of it. They know where to find things. But there's sheep who don't follow. We see this. Even in the church, there's sheep who don't follow, who can hear the voice but don't follow. And they get left behind in the old pasture. Each of us have been sheep who do not follow, each one of us. In fact, we look at Isaiah 53, verse 6, he says, we all like sheep. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. It's not unusual for a sheep to get lost, maybe to lose its way, maybe to get so far from the shepherd that it seems that it's hard to hear the shepherd's voice anymore because they've gotten so far away. We all have been in this situation. We've all been the sheep that's gone astray. God does not abandon his sheep. He doesn't say, well, too bad for you. Okay, should have listened. Maybe that's what it was like growing up in your home. I don't know. Maybe it was hard line. But there's grace. There's grace. And God continues to call. And we know he's a God who will leave the 99 to find the one, because the one got lost. We know he's that type of God. And his voice is still calling out today, even for the sheep who have stayed behind. He calls them to lead them. And it needs to be that in our walk, there must be a following. You know, we cannot walk or journey with Jesus unless we have a following mindset. This is required as sheep, but we have to have a following mindset. You know, if our mindset refuses God's leadership, you know, we can find ourselves in lonely places. And sometimes Christians do. Sometimes Christians find themselves in lonely places they've not been following. You know, God cares for each one of us. God loves each one of us. It doesn't lessen God's care. It doesn't lessen God's love. But he wants to lead us to good pasture. He wants to lead us by those fresh waters. The Psalm 23 just comes alive here. It's his heart. It's his desire. But we have to be careful not to settle. To settle for what we know. To settle for where we've been. To settle for comfortable. That's too easy to do. Because sometimes we like to have a walk with Jesus that takes little or no effort. Meaning we don't want to take the journey. You know, that's work going to another pasture. That's work to follow Jesus. And there's just times when we don't want to take the journey. We stay with what we're familiar with, what we're comfortable with, what's not too much work. But this is a reason why some Christians stop growing. Some Christians stop growing because they don't want to be challenged. Oh, God, I don't want the Holy Spirit to challenge me. I don't want God to challenge me. I'd rather not hear his voice because I know if I hear his voice at some point in time, I'm going to get challenged. And it's going to be something I don't want to hear. And so I'd just rather shut my ears and not hear the voice of God. Christians do that too. And we have to be careful to not shut our ears to the shepherd and just settle for a life of comfort and ease. You know, problems do arise. And people don't even realize that sometimes the problems in our lives is because we stop following. We stop following Jesus, and now there's some things that are creeping up in our lives that we didn't realize. Sometimes there's a problem of lack. Sometimes there's a problem of protection. You know, the old pasture at some point in time will grow stale. It'll no longer satisfy like it once did. The grass is going to dry because there's going to be dry seasons. The brook's going to dry up. And so all of a sudden, the provisions that we had that we became so accustomed to are no longer there like it once was. Huh, does this ever happen? Sure it happens. Sometimes it's that job that's no longer the right job to be at because you're not any longer supposed to be at that job. You're supposed to move to another job. Or you're not supposed to live there. You're called now to live here. You know, there's a story of Elijah at the brook at Cherith. Remember that story? Oh, there's the big drought that's coming, and it's been proclaimed. He's the prophet that's proclaimed the big drought. And now God hides him away at the brook Cherith, and he provides for him fresh water, and the ravens bring food. And there's a provision for him in this place, in this outcrop place in Israel. But then God says, the season's done. The brook is drying up. The ravens will no longer come. Your season here is over. I've got somewhere to go. You need to actually travel outside of Israel. You're going to travel outside of Israel to Sidon, a town that you don't normally go to, because it's not your responsibility is Israel. But I've given you a provision with a widow there. And there I'm going to hide you away, and I have a provision for you in a season of time. Now, Elijah could have stayed there by the brook that was drying up and the food that was no longer coming. And he could have shaken his fist at God and said, "What's wrong with you, God? Where's my provision? Why has it dried up?" But God made it clear, your season here is done. It's time for you to go. I have a provision for you, but you must journey. You must make the journey out of Israel to this place that I have for you until the time that I'm ready to bring you back into Israel and do what I'm going to do for all of Israel to hear. So there was a time and a place and appointed times and appointed places. There's things like that in our lives. If we're not paying attention to God, if we're not listening to the Lord, we can miss it. And we can stay in a place too long. We can be where we're not really supposed to be. God loves us. God cares for us. God, you know, he doesn't want terrible things for us. No, he actually wants to lead us to good pasture. But we have to hear his voice and follow. Those two things must go together. And yes, sometimes it takes effort. And yes, sometimes it takes work. And it takes a lot of trust. That we're trusting that God will provide for us, that wherever he sends us, his provision is there for that next season. Our disposition before God is crucial. Elijah listened to God. He was a voice of God, but he had to hear God, and he followed. And God's sheep are to follow his voice. If our disposition for God is to go our own way, we will lose sensitivity. We'll tune in to other things. We'll lose sensitivity. We can tune in to voices from this world, and we can lose sensitivity to God's voice. So we have to stop and consider. Are we chasing after things that we don't need no longer to be chasing after? And our disposition needs to be before the Lord to look for his leadership in our lives. Psalm 23 says, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. This brings glory to God. When his children follow him, he's providing. You know, the shepherd loves that his sheep are well fed. What shepherd likes to have starving sheep? That's not the heart of the shepherd. The shepherd wants to provide, to bless. It brings blessing to him. Psalm 23 does not say that he will force his sheep against their will. It does not say that. It says he leads them. But leading must have following. God doesn't force us. God doesn't get, he goes out in front. There's a big difference between going out in front and then being behind with a big stick and just hitting the back hinds of those sheep. There's a big difference. And that's God. God leads. He doesn't get behind us and beat us. That's a different kind of, I don't know if that's leadership, but that's a different kind of way of motivation. That's not God's motivation. He leads. But we must follow. We must follow. He guides us along right, or in some translations, righteous pathways. So learning his leadership is a relationship for us. It's a relationship for life. It's a relationship we're to have with God for life. So we need to learn it and learn it well, how to be followers. God leads us to green pastures. Well, we have enemy. We have an enemy who likes to devour sheep. And wolves love to find sheep who are disconnected from their shepherd. Lonely sheep who are disconnected from the shepherd. That's what wolves look for. And Christians are vulnerable when they're disconnected from God. We don't want to do that. And we also don't want a life where we only cry out to God when we're desperate. You know, we're the sheep that falls into the pit and cries out, as you should if you fall into a pit. The sheep cries out. The sheep that have wolves chasing them cry out. Cry out for the shepherd. Those who their legs fell into a hole and got twisted and now they're limping and they're hurt, cry out. And the shepherd is there to meet those desperate situations, but we don't want to be sheep who always live in those desperate situations, that this is the only time that we're crying for God and we're hungry for God. God has abundant pastures, and God desires to protect and watch over his sheep. This is so important. We really need to hear the voice and follow him. I remember a time in my life when I was a teenager, and I had struggles in my early Christian walk. And growing up, there's just things, a lot of things I just didn't know. And even my walk with God. But I knew to pray, and I prayed. I would walk and pray sometimes. And I was having a struggle in my life and walking and praying. And I heard the Lord speak to me. The Lord said, go talk to your youth pastor. Go talk. And I was like, out of the blue. It's like, oh. It kind of stopped my prayer. Go talk to your youth pastor. And that was it. Now, I knew that that was the Lord and that I needed to do that. But I made excuses. I didn't want to, because I would have to expose my struggle and talk about it openly. And that was very uncomfortable for me. In that point in my walk, in my immature place, that was very uncomfortable with me. I didn't want to do that. And so I kind of pushed that voice aside. Well, that struggle continued in my life. And it's interesting that a few years went by and a freshman in college. And now at this point, I had drifted some in my walk with God. And that struggle was still there in my life. And I'm sitting here praying. Didn't stop praying necessarily, but walking and praying. And I hear God's voice again. Go talk to your youth pastor. The word and the message did not change. But something did change that day. As I listened to the voice and I obeyed. This time, you know, and maybe also because I had more drifted with God and I was wanting to come back and have a closer walk with God, I called my youth pastor. And he had me over to his house and we talked and we shared. And it was amazing for me to just talk about my struggles. And I was met with grace and excellent counsel, excellent Christian counsel. He knew what it was like to struggle in the walk, in his personal walk. He knew what it was like, and he helped me. And for that, while I didn't just, all my struggles stopped then and there, no, I still had struggles in life, but something, a victory had been won, and I overcame a fear. I overcame something that the enemy was using against me. And I listened and I obeyed and that shifted. And actually from that conversation, he invited me to go on a missions trip that summer. I went on a missions trip, even as a college student to help with the youth. And I went on that missions trip and it was amazing for me. I loved it. It did great things for me. And I connected with relationships that continued onward in my college years. And those were important relationships for me in my faith. It's amazing if we'll just step out and say, okay, God, I'll do it. We don't know where it's going to lead. We don't know the pasture we're going to. We just know this. He leads, I follow. He'll take care of the rest. It's amazing when we will trust God. You may have had situations in your life where you can look back and say, I didn't follow. I heard him, but I didn't. As opposed to times when I heard him, I listened, and I said yes. And I followed. You can probably see distinguishing times in your own life. So sheep, train your ears to the shepherd. Train your ears. We must train our ears to the shepherd's voice, tuning ourselves to listen to his voice. God speak. He's speaking to you. Do you know he wants to speak to you right now? He wants to speak to you this week. He wants to speak to you today. It's his heart to speak. You're special to him. He loves you and he has plans for you. He has plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans of abundance, as he says. He's leading us into abundance. He's good. We need to trust him that he is good. He doesn't want to leave us in the same place. He wants us to grow. So do you hear God's voice? Ask God to train your ears, like spend time with him, that you can distinguish between his voice and everything else. And God's going to give you opportunities to really distinguish that this is him, this is his voice, he's speaking to you. And we need to bring things before him, and we need to pay attention to how he wants to speak. Listen to other mature Christians about their experiences. Listen to testimonies of other people hearing God's voice and following. And what that was like. Pay attention. And again, other Christians could be a great sounding board for you. If you think you heard God's voice and you're not sure, go talk to a very mature believer who hears God's voice. Go talk to that person and say, I think I hear God's voice, but I'm not sure. Let that be part of your training. It's a good thing to have good sounding boards with other sheep. And if it has been a while, and maybe it has been, has it been a while since you've heard God's voice? Come back. Come back to the shepherd. Commit yourself anew, afresh, to spend time with him. And to let him speak into you. Speak through his word. To speak to you in times of prayer. To worship. Worshiping just him opens your heart to him. All the more that to open yourself to him, to let him speak into your life. All right. So that I told you is a simple message. God leads, we follow. We are to hear his voice and to obey. So simple, right? So let's do it. Let's be those sheep who followed the master's voice. and let him lead you to exactly where he wants you to be. And then when you're there, stick close. Stick close because he has more to say.